from Orchestra Hall in Chicago, we welcome you to a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Sir George Schulte, Music Director. We are live from Orchestra Hall, and our guest conductor on this occasion is a man who led this orchestra as music director from 1950 to 1953, Rafael Kubelik. He will conduct what perhaps one might say is a Kubelik specialty, the complete symphonic cycle of six orchestral poems, Mav Lost, My Fatherland, by Smetana, three before intermission, the other three after, Vyšehrad, The High Castle, Vultava, the best-known work in the cycle, the Moldau, and Sharka, and then from Bohemia's Meadows and Forests, Tabor and Blanik, the latter two incorporating a Hussite war hymn. This broadcast, this live broadcast of the Chicago Symphony, is being heard on the AMICO, Chicago Symphony Orchestra Radio Network, the broadcast made possible by AMICO. Smetana has been called both the father of Czech nationalist music and the founder of modern Czech music. He was a pianist and conductor, as well as composer. He was a friend of Franz Liszt, and he admired the music of Wagner, Berlioz, and Schumann. His early works were composed primarily for the piano. The first of his eight operas was completed in 1863, when he was 39. Fame came to him late in life, mainly after The Bartered Bride of 1866, his second opera. He had little acquaintance with fortune. His principal orchestral works were symphonic poems after Liszt's models and a triumph symphony, all climaxed by the six symphonic poems under the title Mav Lost, the music we're going to hear. Most of which, along with the last three operas, were composed after he became totally deaf. His first language was German, but as he became more actively involved with the nationalist cause of an independent Czech nation, he learned the Czech language. His death in 1884 at the age of 60 was an occasion for national mourning. Mav Lost, the symphonic cycle which we're going to hear, was composed between 1874 and 1879. Smetana became deaf in 1874 and never heard this music, nor his last three completed operas. The three sections of Mav Lost we're going to hear before intermission are Vyšehrad, The High Castle, Vultava, or the Moldau, and Sharka. Here are the composer's descriptions of those three. Yeah, the score, by the way, has more extensive descriptions, but these brief ones will do, we think. Vyšehrad, by the way, is an old ancient castle on a high hill in Czechoslovakia. Smetana's description. The harps of the bards begin, the song of the bards of the happenings on Vyšehrad, of the glory and brilliance, the tournaments, battles up to the final fall and decay. The work ends on an elegiac note. The second, and as we said, the best-known music in this entire cycle, Vultava, or the Moldau, the work tells of the flow of the Vultava, beginning from its first two tiny sources, the cold and warm Vultava, the joining of two little streams into one, then the sweep of the Vultava through the groves and along the meadows, through the countryside where harvest festivals are being celebrated. In the light of the moon, the dance of the water nymphs. On the nearby rocks, proud castles rear up, wide mansions and ruins. The Vultava swirls in the St. John's Rapids, then flows in a broad, sweeping current on to Prague, where Vyšehrad comes into sight and finally disappears in the distance with its majestic sweep into the Elbe. The third composition, Sharka. The composer says, this composition does not reflect the countryside, but action. A legend about the girl, Sharka. It begins with a description of a maddened girl who swears revenge on the entire male generation for the infidelity of her lover. From afar, the arrival of Chütirad and his weapon-bearers can be heard as they march forth to humiliate and castigate the women. From afar, they hear the dissembling cries of a maiden who is tied to a tree. Sharka had herself tied to the tree as a trap for Chütirad. On catching sight of her, Chittirat is struck by her beauty, and filled with passionate love for her, he frees her. She then hands him and his weapon-bearers a potion, which makes them merry and intoxicates them, and then they fall asleep. A bugle call resounds and is answered from where the women are hidden in the distance, and they dash up to do their bloodthirsty deed. The horrors of a mass slaughter, the rage of Sharka, her thirst for revenge now slaked, that is the end of the composition. And those notes on the first three poems of Mavlast, My Fatherland by Smetana, which we're about to hear with Rafael Kubelik conducting. Mr. Kubelik, by the way, has recorded this music no less than three times. The first time with this orchestra, the Chicago Symphony, in 1953. He then recorded it with the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, and then with the Boston Symphony. And by the way, the most recent performance here in Chicago was with Mr. Kubelik conducting here in Orchestra Hall. And here is our guest conductor, Rafael Kubelik. He asks the orchestra to stand with him to accept the applause of this audience. Always warm applause and bravos even in advance for Rafael Kubelik. Here are the first three symphonic poems of the cycle, Mavlast, My Fatherland, by Smetana. Thank you. first three of the six symphonic poems of the cycle Mav Lost, My Fatherland by Smetana, performed by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra with Rafael Kubelik conducting. We heard Visehrad, the High Castle, Vultava, the Moldau, and Sharka. Mr. Kubelik stepped back and asked for a collective solo bow by the winds and the brass. And now he's back around the harps and shaking hands with our principal harpist, Edward Druzinski, and assistant harpist, Lynn Turner. And now walking off stage, Rafael Kubelik, who was music director of this orchestra, the Chicago Symphony, from 1950 to 1953, and now returns happily, regularly, to conduct this orchestra. And the applause returns to Center Stage Orchestra Hall, Chicago, Rafael Kubelik. And we are broadcasting live from Orchestra Hall. Again, the entire Chicago Symphony asked to stand with guest conductor Rafael Kubelik. Mr. Kubelik, of course, will be back after intermission to conduct the final three symphonic poems of the cycle from Bohemia's Meadows and Forests, Tabor, and Blanik. This live broadcast is being heard on the AMICO, Chicago Symphony Orchestra Radio Network. This broadcast is being made possible by AMICO. Originally, during this intermission time, we had anticipated doing a new interview of Maestro Kubelik, especially talking about Mav Lost, but he had such a busy week, unfortunately, the schedules did not mesh. In place of that, we'd like to present excerpts from an interview conducted several years ago when he was here. Aaron Parsons, program annotator of the Chicago Symphony, speaking with Mr. Kubelik. They spoke in part about Mr. Kubelik as composer, and began with Mr. Kubelik talking about how happy he is always to visit the Chicago Symphony and conduct this orchestra.
It's for me not only a great joy, of course, to come, a satisfaction, and a new experience whenever I come to meet not only the old friends, but to meet also new friends, and to see how music can bring understanding. With the orchestra, it is a double pleasure. First of all, it's a marvelous crowd of wonderful musicians. But also, it is a contact which, as you know, is old now, over 30 years. The first time I was here as a guest in 1949. Mm-hmm. And then I came here in 50, as you know, for 3 years. Yes. To see not only old faces, old friends, which are still there, and play beautiful, which I, for me is a miracle anyway, to see how those first-class players, especially in the wind section, that they can still obtain today the same kind of musicality and tone and everything in being 30 years older. To see that music-making and to hear the music-making, which one can do in that atmosphere of friendship, in that atmosphere of understanding, in that spirit of... Every music should be done in that spirit, in a spirit of real ardent following of ideas of the composers, and really feel that every rehearsal, every concert is a mission and not just a job.
Mr. Kubelik, we have known you here in Chicago and the world over as conductor of symphony and of opera, because you have been so active in opera as well. But now we begin to know you as a composer. We hadn't known about this, which you had more or less under a bushel, as they say in the Bible.
Well, I don't like to speak about me about my compositions, because I think what I write should be somehow the eloquent, you know, mission of a person.
Yes.
And I never judged about my compositions very much because that doesn't make any sense. I judge only what I'm writing in that very moment, whether I can do it better or not. And then I must say with my good conscience that in that moment I can't do it better because I really conscientiously score the piece or write it down, and that's what interests me most, whether I really am honest to my own ear and to my own, you know, feelings and emotions which I put into the music. And so to speak about my music, I can't, but I can say, why did I come out now a little bit more? Because I have done really for as a conductor in the last 50 years, I'm almost 50 years a conductor now, and I try to concentrate on playing others, which was my duty, especially in a position which you are. I was in Prague, musical director for 12 years there in the Czech Philharmonic, and in London was there the common guy. In Amsterdam, I was half, you know, practically the main conductor for many years. And so I was in Chicago, and so I was in Munich now for 18 years. So I had always to play compositions of that ambiance, of that culture which is around me, which was around me, which the public needed to be here. Mm-hmm. And I did it. I know in Chicago I did 16 new compositions in 3 years, which was it was almost revolutionary.
But now we look back on those years as golden years.
Well, it was all right, but it was a fight, you know that.
Yes.
And in Amsterdam I played all the Dutch important composers I found in the drawer somewhere, and so did I in England. I tried, but not so much, but tried. And in Prague, anyway, the Czech composers, my first years of my conducting was to devote myself for the modern, not only Dvořák and Smetana, but in those days even Janáček was new. I was one of the first ones who conducted Janáček in Prague. So that was my duty to do, and I did it with great passion and with all my heart and all my what I could do. But I composed all the time. My first touch with music was composition. I never played the piano yet, and I was 7 years old, 8 years old, when I started to compose little tunes and little things. So for me, that went parallelly. And when I left Prague...
Parallel, yes.
Yeah, parallel. Mm-hmm. And when I left Prague, I couldn't do it parallel because I had to make my contact. As I said, I had to do these duties. Mm-hmm. So I composed, but I didn't play them. And now I think that after a while, after these almost 50 years conducting, that I have somehow, I have to have the courage to come out with these things. It is a little matter of courage, isn't it?
Yes.
It is not a matter of a wish. Because after what I wrote, then I wrote and I finished with it, and I write again something new, I forget it practically, what I wrote. So I'm thinking of new ideas again all the time. But I think one has to face the public, one has to face one's friends and say, well, here I am, I did something, for God's sake. So if you don't like it, fine. I don't know whether I should like it at all. I have no idea whether it's good or bad. I don't care. I just had to write it because I felt that way.
Yes. Writing a piece is a totally different experience than conducting the piece.
Yes, and it is much easier, much simpler if you compose. I mean, you see everything simple. Mm-hmm. Even the most difficult. Suddenly you come to the rehearsal and you see that it is really difficult.
Now, do you think that because you are a conductor, that you are going to compose things which you know are going to be readily conducted from the podium? Does it makes a difference in what you write?
No, not at all. No. What helped me, the experience as a conductor, of course, technically, I know what would be a nonsense to write down, which wouldn't be perhaps possible to execute at all. That's possible. But I don't think of that at all. If I compose, I try to find the way which I feel, to find the sound and the impact of music, in sound, of course, as I imagined it in my fantasy. Mm-hmm. Because I don't write with piano. Piano is just a little control sometimes. But I write without a piano. So sometimes it took me months before I started to write a piece which in my mind was already working. But I never had time to put it down because I had other concerts. I had to do Mr. Bartok and Mr. Dvořák and Mr. So-and-so. So I had no time for that. And I had to memorize it. You know, there the memory is important. One has to memorize one's own compositions before. But not the whole thing, you can't, because that would be, again, impossible, probably. At least for me, it would be. I would be a hypocrite if I would say that I do the whole piece in my head and then I write it down. That I don't. But I have certain idioms in certain dreams, perhaps, and certain sounds and certain emotions, which I remember. And then I start to compose, and then they come. But the most difficult part is that what to put then in the score, how to score it.
Yes.
And there you need experience. And there you shouldn't make any mistakes. And if you are conscientious, as I said before, that you can't do it in that very moment better for your own ego, because you should never lose your own ego, then it's okay. Then whatever happens afterwards, it's force majeure. But one does one's best. I never wrote a piece of music with my brain only. The brain was a controller, but it was not an inventor. The brain is not an inventor. The brain must exist only in that very moment where you invented something which came out of somewhere, which you don't know where from. And that's it. And then comes the controller, the brain, that's the shape, and then comes the ear as a new element of bringing out what your first instinct, subconscious, told you to do. And that you must remember, and that you must be faithful to it. Mm-hmm. If you change afterwards, then you lose the basic inspiration.
Raphael Kubelik speaking with Aaron Parsons, program annotator for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. A taped interview from a few years ago in the midst of this live broadcast from Orchestra Hall Chicago, being made possible by Amoco, being heard on the Amoco Chicago Symphony Orchestra radio network. Smetana often despaired in his struggle to raise the level of music in his homeland. In October of 1869, he advised the well-known Czech cellist František Neruda not to leave the security of his position in Copenhagen to return to Prague. He wrote, "However pleasurable your presence in Prague would be to me and all friends of the arts, I would nevertheless advise you not to leave your safe position at present, but to wait until matters have cleared up and become more settled from the political point of view. You know what a hard struggle our nation is having to wage for its sealed and sacred rights, sovereign rights for its crown, with the present government, a government which would so dearly like to throw all the nation." The orchestra is coming back on stage here in Orchestra Hall, Chicago, for the final half of this concert, a complete presentation of the symphonic cycle Mavlast, My Fatherland by Smetana. Raphael Kubelik, our guest conductor. The fourth movement, which begins this half of the concert, from Bohemia's Meadows and Forests, Smetana's program for it. This is a general description of the feelings which the sight of the Czech countryside conjures up. From nearly all sides, a song both gay and melancholic rings out full of fervor from the groves and the meadows. The woodlands, horn solos, and the gay, fertile lowlands of the Elbe and many, many other parts, everything is remembered in a hymn of praise. Everyone may imagine what he chooses when hearing this work. The poet has the field open to him. All he has to do is follow the composition in detail. The last two compositions are titled Tabor and Blanik, a bit of history. Jan Hus, who had translated the writings of Wycliffe, was burned at the stake for heresy in 1415. Tabor, a town south of Prague, was the center of his activities. Actually, a more radical group of Hussites with particular concern over the sole authority of the scriptures was called the Taborites. Tabor, in the music, and the following movement, Blanik, used the chorale, "Ye who are warriors of God." Smetana has described Tabor as follows. The whole structure of the composition comes from this majestic song, "Ye Who Are Warriors of God." In the main stronghold, in Tabor, this song surely rang out most mightily and most often. The work tells of strong will, victorious fights,
constancy and endurance and stubborn refusal to yield a note on which the composition ends. The contents of the work cannot be analyzed in detail, for it embraces the Hussite pride and glory and the unbreakable nature of the Hussites. Blahnik, the final movement, leads directly from that. There is a very brief pause. Here's Smetana's description of Blahnik. This is a continuation of the preceding composition, Tabor. After their defeat, the Hussite heroes hide in Blahnik Hill and wait in profound sleep for the moment when they are to come to the help of their country. The same motives as in Tabor also serve Blahnik as the foundation for the structure, that is, ye who are warriors of God. On the basis of this melody, the Hussite motif, the resurrection of the Czech nation, its future happiness and glory develops. With this victorious hymn in the form of a march, the composition, and thus the whole cycle of the symphonic poems My Fatherland is concluded. As a small intermezzo, there is also a short idyll contained in this work, a sketch of the landscape around Blahnik, a little shepherd boy rejoices and plays oboe, and the echo answers him. Here once more, our guest conductor, Raphael Kubelik. This time to lead the Chicago Symphony in the final three symphonic poems of the cycle, Mav Lost, by Smetana.
Oh, Thank you.
Raphael Kubelik conducting the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in the final three symphonic poems of the cycle Mavlost by Smetana, from Bohemia's Meadows and Forests, Tabor, and Blanik. He asked the orchestra to stand, and he stepped down and shook hands with first and second chair players in the immediate arc all around the podium. Then he turned toward the audience, that big burst of bravos and applause, and now he's back, shaking hands with all the winds, and now in the brass, and to the back reaches there, and the trombones, and all of the brass instruments. Raphael Kubelik. Mr. Kubelik recorded this music with this orchestra some 30 years ago in this same hall for Mercury Records, and that recording is still available on the Mercury Golden Imports label, and many consider it one of the finest recordings of this music ever made by any orchestra and any conductor. And we have had it live from Orchestra Hall in Chicago. And the applause recalls Raphael Kubelik. He asked the orchestra to stand. They remained seated, applauding him very vigorously. As you can hear, cheers as well as applause from this Orchestra Hall audience, which is now standing in tribute to Mr. Kubelik. Again, he asked the orchestra to stand. Again, they remained seated, and applauding him more vigorously than ever. Mr. Kubelik was music director of the Chicago Symphony from 1950 to 1953. And now, after a third plea, the Chicago Symphony stands with its guest conductor, Raphael Kubelik. Among the works Mr. Kubelik recorded with the CSO in those years, that historic recording of pictures at an exhibition, the Tchaikovsky 4th and 6th Symphonies, the Brahms 1st, Symphonic Metamorphoses on Themes of Weber by Paul Hindemith, 5 Pieces for Orchestra by Schoenberg, Bartok Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta, the Bloch Concerto Grosso No. 1, and of course the complete Mavlost. Once more, here is Raphael Kubelik, Center Stage, Orchestra Hall, Chicago, and the orchestra this time, on his request, stands with him once more. This broadcast being transmitted live from Orchestra Hall in Chicago, made possible by Amoco, being heard on the Amoco Chicago Symphony Orchestra Radio Network.